Jesus Christ is Lord.
Father, my prayer this morning is that everybody in this room has truly made You Lord of their life. That they've submitted to You, Father, and that they're walking in obedience to what Your Holy Spirit is leading them in. Father, I pray for a special anointing now as I bring the message, Father, that we would hear from You. That it wouldn't just be me speaking, but it would be You speaking through me, Father. May Your will be done in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So I had a bunch of different messages on my mind this week, and I had all these different thoughts, and I sat down Friday night when I got in from work and just asked the Lord to start showing me what He wanted me to preach on. And for some reason, I thought of flowers. I said, what are you doing thinking about flowers? And, you know, we have these flowers in our backyard, and I don't know what their names are. I don't know that much about flowers, but I know, like, the end of May through June, they bloom, and they're just beautiful, but then they die off, and they don't stay that pretty. And so it made me think about stories I've heard about flowers and how long they take to bloom. And so I looked it up, and in 2015, in the Denver Botanical Garden, they had a webcam pointed at a flower called the corpse flower. Have y'all ever heard of the corpse flower? Okay, I hadn't either. I asked Crystal, I said, am I pronouncing that right? She said, yeah, it looks like it to me, corpse flower. And so it was in the greenhouse, and this massive flower, it seems like, why would they have a web camera pointed at this flower, but it only blooms like once, and it takes up to 20 years before it blooms. And so they knew that this flower was about to bloom. And in some of the areas, it says that the bloom will be up to 5 feet. I thought, wow, that's pretty neat. And then I was reading about all these other flowers, and I couldn't pronounce what they were. So that's why I didn't write down the names. But some of them, it takes 12 years to bloom. There was one in India, and they said that it could live up to 75 years. And then when it would bloom, it would die. And I thought, wow, 75 years to wait for a flower to bloom? Okay, that's not me, okay? I'm more of an instant kind of guy. I want to see the instant, like those flowers that bloom and at my house, you know, they stay pretty for maybe 4 or 5 weeks, and then they die off. And I'm like, well, wait a minute, I want them to stay pretty all year long. You know, I'm an instant person, and, you know, I like bun coffee. Anybody have a bun? You know what I'm talking about if you've ever had bun coffee. It's quick. It gets the coffee made, you know, and I'm instant oatmeal. I don't want to wait on, you know, I got the little pouch. I open it up, zap it in the microwave. I don't want to wait on anything. I'm an instant person. Well, last week we were talking about Labor Day and laboring for the Lord and working. And so I hope that all these thoughts will come together, okay? So I'm thinking about these flowers that take so long to bloom, okay? I'm thinking about laboring and us being laborers, co-laborers with the Lord, and that we are supposed to be laboring for the Lord. But I was thinking about how slow it seems sometimes to see the results of our labor here at church. Does this make sense? That sometimes you can work and work and work, and you just say, Lord, what's going on? Are we doing any good? Are we doing what we're supposed to be doing? And I want to open up the Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 to begin. First Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. And it says, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. And so I'm thinking, this verse came to my mind about how sometimes our working for the Lord is like that corpse flower. It may take years before we see a beautiful bloom out of it. And I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about sometimes when you're at work, sometimes when you're at home, sometimes when you're at church, sometimes when we feel like we're doing everything we're supposed to be doing for the Lord, we're walking in obedience, we're doing everything right, and yet we don't see the beautiful bloom. And here he's saying that, you know what, you've got a job to do, and you're to do it, because you're God's fellow workers. But you know what? What causes it to grow is the Lord Himself. It's not me. It's not you. It's God Himself that causes it to grow. So if God's telling you to plant seed, you plant seed. If God's telling you to water the seed, you water the seed. But none of us can make it grow. It's God that makes it grow. And sometimes we don't see the fruit or the reward of all that we're doing, all the laboring that we're doing. And sometimes we can get frustrated, and sometimes we can think, God, why? Why are we not seeing any fruit? Why are we not seeing any growth? Now I want to go to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. And I'm going to read a little extra here, okay? But 2 Peter 3, verse 8, he says, "But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like a thousand years, and a thousand years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." So if you are like me, impatient, in a hurry, gotta have it now, that's not the way that God works, okay? That's not the way that God works. That God's patience, though, is waiting for people to repent. And sometimes I think I'm in too big a hurry, instead of just planting the seed that I need to plant, or watering, or whatever the Lord tells me to do, and then wait for His time, wait for Him to cause the increase. Verse 10 says, "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives." See, what this is saying is that someday there's coming a day when it's going to be like that. A blink of an eye. I talked about a few weeks ago when the thunder, when we were having those terrible storms a few weeks ago, and the thunder would clasp in the middle of the night, and a few times it woke me up, and all at once, man, I'm startled out of bed, and you're like, what? That's how it's going to be someday when the Lord comes back. So how should we be living? We should be living holy and godly lives. Verse 12 says, "As you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming." I've told this story before, but I remember being a teenager, like junior high, when Desert Storm started. And a lot of people wondered if that was the beginning of the end times. And I had a teacher at school that was a Christian man. He's still a Christian man, very good Christian man. And we got to talking about in his class, what do you think this is? And they was talking about Revelation and different things going on with the Desert Storm and all this. And he says, "I hope it is. I hope it is the end times." And I thought, what? You hope it's the end times? You're ready to go? And he's like, you know, and in my mind, I'm scared to death going, what? Why are you hoping it's the end times? I'm not ready for the end. What are you talking about, teacher? But you know what? He loved the Lord. He served the Lord. And he says, "I'm ready. I'm ready if it is the end." Are we that way? Are we speeding the coming of the Lord? "That day will bring about the destructions of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with His promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, a home of righteousness. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with Him. You know, when I'm reading this and I think how sometimes I get discouraged, you know? And it's kind of been a week. It's been a year, I guess. And, I mean, for all of us, we've all faced different challenges and different things. And sometimes you get discouraged, you know. And sometimes I get discouraged even with my walk with the Lord, because, like I said, I'm not a patient person, and that's probably why things take so long for me, because God's trying to teach me patience. But I read this, and He says, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace. And so I need to quit being impatient and just make sure I'm walking with God. Amen? Just make sure I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, making sure that I'm following His lead. He says, bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom that God gave him. So as I'm thinking about this, and I'm thinking about my patience is needed in the labor and not giving up what the Lord has told us to do. You just don't plant a seed in the lives of those around you and then give up and say, well, I'm not doing any good. I'm not where I'm supposed to be. I need to switch. I need to go this place. I need to go that place. Cause can I tell you something, church, that right now there's a lot of people, and it's kind of heartbreaking. There's a lot of people that's upset with their church because they're not doing what they think they ought to be doing during COVID. Well, they're just trying to find another church. And they're you know, or they're just not going to go anymore. And, you know, I hope it's true for all pastors. We're trying to follow the Holy Spirit and His leadership and what He's telling us to do. And sometimes it's frustrating for us, too. Well, what do we do? What do we do? How do we do this? And I try not to look at what I see, because I'm to live by faith. But sometimes what I see, I'm very frustrated, and I'm very anxious, and I'm saying, God, are we doing right? Are we doing what we're supposed to do? And I believe that in a lot of these things that God's saying, just remain faithful. Just remain faithful. Keep seeking me. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't let what's going on discourage you. Don't let that people aren't coming discourage you. Don't let that you're, you know, just keep on. I want to go back to Matthew chapter 24, verse 36 now. And here it is, again, talking about remaining watchful. Matthew 24, 36, it says, no one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing about what would happen until the floods came and took them all away. This is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Okay, this really isn't supposed to be an end times message, okay? And actually, this is supposed to be an encouraging message, telling y'all not to give up and keep laboring, keep striving. But as I'm reading this, who knew to get into the boat? Noah, the man of righteousness, right? He knew to get into the boat. Nobody else knew what was going on. We, as children of God today, should recognize what's going on in the world and be getting in the boat, so to speak, of our Heavenly Father and walking in the Holy Spirit, okay? And so hopefully we can recognize the signs of the times. Anyway, verse 40. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill. One will be taken and the other one left. When I read this, what I always think of, and maybe I'm wrong, but this is just what it brings to my mind, is every day there's people dying around us, right? Every day. There's a husband that'll lose his wife. A wife loses her husband. There's car accidents. There's COVID. There's all these things taking lives. And I think about this is we don't know when it's our time. We don't know. I mean, just like that, we could be gone. In the blink of an eye, the crashing of the thunder. Most of y'all know I was in an accident last week, and it happened that fast. And I think it was God's hand watching out for me that we didn't, I mean, it was God's hand. And it happened that fast, and I could have been gone. And then all at once, I'm in heaven. So what about you? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you walking in obedience? Are you seeking the Lord? Or have you given up this morning? Because you don't see the fruit that you think you ought to be bearing. Because life isn't the way you thought it should be. Because this church isn't doing what you thought it should. Because God hasn't answered this prayer. So we give up. But verse 42 says, therefore keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. And so that was kind of the beginning of the main reason why I read these verses is these next verses coming up, okay? Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom the master has put in charge of the servants in his household to give them their food at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. It will be good when God returns to find you doing what he's told you to do. That's basically what that's saying. It will be good that when God returns, you're going to be walking in obedience. You're going to be doing what God's told you to do. It doesn't matter what cousin so-and-so's doing. It doesn't matter what your best friend's doing. Are you doing what God has told you to do? It will be good for you if God finds you doing what he's told you to do. Verse 47, I tell you the truth, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose that servant is wicked and says to himself, my master's staying away a long time, and then he begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with drunkards. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and in an hour he is not aware of. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Any of y'all ever felt like, wow, I hadn't seen God move. I hadn't felt God's presence. I hadn't seen any miracles. This hasn't happened. That hasn't happened. God hasn't answered my prayers. This hasn't happened. That hasn't happened. God, are you even listening to me? And you just kind of give up. And you quit doing what you know is right. You quit doing what you know you're supposed to do. Some of you that may be newer Christians, you're like, Pete, I hadn't experienced that. Praise God, I hope you don't, but you might. Some of you that's been walking with the Lord 20, 30, 40, 50 years, you may say, there's been times in my life that I have kind of been discouraged, that I have kind of thought, God, what are we even doing here? But you don't give up. You don't stop. Because when He comes back, are we going to be walking in obedience? Are we going to be doing what we know is the right thing to do? I think as we labor, we also need to remember, it's a war that we're fighting. You know, showing up for church on Sunday morning, is it a battle? Sometimes it is, isn't it? Is it a war in your home sometimes to get out of bed? Is it a battle to get here? You have a flat tire, your car broke down, you have a tree fall in the middle of the road. You know, you have a battle to get here to do things. We're fighting a war, and so I thought of John 3:16. You guys say, John 3:16, what? For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. If you've never asked Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life, right now is the time, right now is the moment. We can baptize you today. We got water still in there. I'll get wet again. I don't care if you've never been baptized. You know, sometimes at services, they'll have at the end of service, they'll have baptism. And I've heard of church services that they'll have a change of clothes ready. I don't have a change of clothes ready, but I'll give you a towel if you want to get baptized. We'll get baptized today. But have you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? But then let's read on. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. So God's came to save us, to deliver us, to transform us. Verse 18, whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. So this is where the battle comes in, okay? This is why I'm reading this, okay? Verse 19, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. See, there's a battle going on for us and our thoughts and our minds. And there's a battle going on, a spiritual battle going on with those around us, because men love darkness. They love their evil. They love their sin. They love what they're doing. They don't want Jesus. We talked about this Wednesday night a little bit. Is it, I won't say who, someone mentioned, you know, that their coworkers, they don't want what he's got. Well, why don't they want what you've got? Because they love darkness. So just because they don't want what you have, do you stop? Do you give up? Do you quit trying? No. No, we don't stop. We don't give up, because we just read where Jesus says, my patience means salvation. And you never know when you're battling at work to stay pure, to stay holy, to stay righteous, to show God's love to people, when that moment that seed's going to land on good soil, and all at once their eyes are going to be opened and they say, I want what Kyle has. I want what Colton has. I want what Kimberly has. I want, there's something different about them, and all at once their eyes will be open. But y'all, people love their sin and their darkness. And we can't become discouraged by that. We have to keep on keeping on. Verse 20 says, everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. Are you living in the light? Last week I talked about salt and light. Are you living in the light? Are you not growing weary? Are you not giving up? Do you understand that sometimes, even when it feels like our labor is in vain, that we do not give up, that we continue in patience and faithfulness? And even when it seems like nobody's listening. I don't know why this just came to me, you know, but 20 years ago, probably somewhere in there, I had a friend who got saved a few months after me at UPS, and he ended up surrendering full-time ministry, quit. He was a supervisor at UPS, quit his job, traveled around and did college campus ministries. Met a lady, got married, and still in ministry today, still doing college ministry. I hadn't talked to him in years, but he came to our church to talk about the campus ministry that he was doing. He's traveled all over the United States, and he came and gave his little thing, and then he came back, and it was going to be a weeknight, and had all these people were supposed to show up. And he was going to go more in depth and everything. And he brought donuts and different things to thank the people for coming. And nobody came. It was me and him. And I don't even remember if there was one other person. There might have been. It's been 20 plus years. I can't remember. And I was so embarrassed. And I was so ashamed. And I was so mad. He drove an hour and a half, brought food, and nobody even can bother to drive 3 blocks to listen to him. But his attitude was so good.
It's all right, man. Heck, we'll go down to the Dixie Bell and hang out and we'll get some real food and it'll just be me and you. It's no big deal. It's all right.
My attitude was wrong. I mean, I'm still mad. Nobody came. But y'all, sometimes in life, the people around you are going to disappoint you. And you know what? You might have a story about me where I've disappointed you. There's going to be times that we're going to disappoint each other, that we're going to hurt each other's feelings. There's going to be times when we go, God, am I even doing any good? But remember, it's a battle. It's a war that we're fighting against the flesh, against our mind to not become discouraged, and against Satan and all that he throws at us. Galatians 6:9 says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. I guess what kind of got these thoughts going in my head too was I went back and got our baptistry records to fill out for the baptisms that we did this morning. And I had no idea how many years it's been since we've done a baptism here till I looked at the records. And, you know, sometimes you just go, God, what's going on? But then I ran into an old friend last night who used to go to church here, Ronnie Furman. He said, tell everybody hi. And it's funny because he said to tell everybody hi. And I said, Ronnie, I said, I don't think you know hardly anybody there anymore. And I could think of about four or five people that would know Ronnie, and that's it. And then I think, wow, God is doing something. We have some new people. We have some new life. And then COVID messes everything up. Y'all, we do not give up. We do not grow weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. If we don't give up. If you're discouraged this week, don't give up. If you're discouraged with church, don't give up. If you're discouraged at work, don't give up. If you're discouraged with your kids, don't give up. I will tell you this, to pray. I don't know what time it is. I didn't wear my watch, but I didn't know I was even going to tell this story, so I'm sorry. I can't even remember the names, but it's a man, I believe, that has the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir. And I'd heard the testimony years ago, and I'd heard a piece of it again this week. And so I'm sorry if I tell it wrong. I didn't even plan on telling it today. But he had a daughter that strayed when she was 17 or 18. And she was not living for the Lord. And I believe, if I'm telling the story right, she got messed up in drugs and different things like that, you know. And one night, I think about 2 years of her being lost, they were at church at a prayer meeting, and they were praying. And I don't remember how it all transpired. I think they grabbed him and started praying for his daughter. And he said it was prayer like he'd never seen before. And it was just this intense prayer. And he said it was like God heard him. Said he came home from prayer meeting that night, and he told his wife, and I can't remember his daughter's name, said, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. She's going to be fine. And 1 or 2 days later, his daughter showed up at the house, and he didn't even want to go downstairs and see her because there'd been so much friction and confrontation. Said he was upstairs shaving, and his wife said, you need to come down and see her. And he said, I don't know if that's a good idea. And she said, no, you need to come down and see her. And said she was in their kitchen floor on her knees, weeping. And she said, Daddy, who was praying Tuesday night for me? She said, I was asleep. God woke me up and showed me that I was headed for hell and what awaited me if I didn't change my life. She said, Daddy, I've sinned against God and I've sinned against you.
Y'all, you don't give up. You keep praying. Even when it seems impossible, even when it seems like the people you love the most have rejected you, have rejected God, you don't give up. Matthew 9:36-38, and this is it. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Last week I talked a whole lot about labor, what it means. This week I'm telling you, go out into the fields and get busy and don't give up. Even when you don't see fruit, even when you don't see what's taking place, you don't know what God has in store. If you're walking in obedience, if you're following what the Lord God has told you to do, you do it with all your heart and don't give up. It doesn't matter if it's a Bible study meeting, if it's one person shows up, if it's you by yourself, if it's a prayer meeting and you're all alone, you don't give up. You keep going. You don't stop and walk in obedience to what the Lord has told you to do. Let's stand. Father, I thank you for your word. And I pray for encouragement for every one of us, Lord, that even when we don't see the fruit of our labor, that we know that there's a day coming when we'll see it come to pass, Lord, that we've walked in your will according to what you've told us to do. And then we leave it up to you, into your hands, for you cause the increase. We just read that in your word, Lord, that you cause the increase. Father, I pray for all those that are at home this morning, those that will be watching on television, Father, that they would be encouraged this morning to get up and do something, to get up and serve. But Father, may we all seek you. May we all press through these battles that continue to rage on. Lord, would you give us guidance? Would you give us obedience in this time that, Lord, it just seems like there's so much uncertainty. May we find our certainty in you, Father. Lord, if there's any here that don't know you, it's never accepted you as their Lord and Savior and submitted their life to you, may they come forward now, make a public confession that they're turning away from their life of sin and that they're repenting and that they're living a new life following you. For we do not know the hour, we do not know the time when this life will be over. May each and every one of us be doing all we can to live a life worthy and holy and pleasing to you, Father. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. If you need prayer this morning, if you need Jesus this morning, if you need to just spend some time alone with the Lord, if you've been discouraged, if you've been frustrated, if you've not been living the life that you know you should be living, God's waiting with open arms. Come to Him.
As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after Thee. You alone are my heart's desire. To worship Thee. To worship.